Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be truly acceptable to you this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In his book, Horns and Halos, Dr. Wallace Hamilton tells about one of the weirdest auctions in history. It was held in Washington in 1926, where there was 150,000 old patents and old inventions that were obsolete were placed on the auction block for a public auction. And the prospective buyers that turned up chuckled as item after item was put up for bid. They had lots of laughs. But if we were to look at that situation more closely, we would discover that those 150,000 old patents and models also represented 150,000 broken dreams, disappointments. They represented a mountain of disappointment for people. And it may seem a little inappropriate to be talking about broken dreams and disappointments this close to Christmas. After all, this is the season to be jolly, they tell us. But you know, it's not jolly for everyone, is it? For those who have lost loved ones, this can be the loneliest time of the year. And in a world that glorifies materialism, those who are struggling financially may find it to be the most disappointing time of the year for them. And you know, our friend John the Baptist knew about disappointment too. John is in prison when we had that reading today. He's looking for a sign of the long-awaited Messiah has really arrived. And if you think about it, it's rather ironic, isn't it? John the Baptist looking for a sign that the Messiah has really arrived. Because John the Baptist is the one who first proclaimed his coming. So much has happened to John since we last see him preaching and baptizing people in the wilderness. And now his heart is cast down. You'll remember John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And that message was burnt deep into John's soul. And John wasn't afraid to proclaim his message to religious leaders or royalty alike. He wasn't even afraid to proclaim it to King Herod. And that's why he was in jail. And this wasn't the King Herod who ruled at the time of Jesus' birth, the one that had all the two-year-old boys killed to try and get rid of Jesus. This was his son, Herod Antipas, who turned out to be worse than his dad. Herod Antipas seduced and later married his brother's wife. But first he killed his brother. And the nation was in shock. And John the Baptist condemned the king's behaviour and he was placed in prison because of it. And while in prison, John realised that his career as a prophet would soon be over. His life would be over as well. And there was one thing that John wanted to know before he died. John wanted to know beyond a shadow of doubt if Jesus was really the Messiah. And can you blame him for that? He had given everything he had, including in a matter of days, his very life. He wanted to know, has it all been in vain? Is it all an illusion, a dream? You know, in the wilderness, John had believed Jesus was a long-awaited Messiah. But in the face of certain death, he had some doubts and he wanted to know for sure. So he sent some of his followers to find Jesus and ask him, are you the one who is to come or are we to wait for another? You see, John the Baptist found himself in a disappointing and disheartening predicament. Things were not working out as he liked, or as he expected. And sometimes that happens. Disappointments, they happen to every one of us. And particularly at Christmas, this is not an easy time of the year. A couple of decades ago, there was a country song that went like this. If we make it through December. And some of you know, may have that feeling, if we make it through December. Well, for John the Baptist, it was December. He was hurting in Herod's prison. He was hurting physically, he was hurting emotionally, and he was gripped with disappointment. And John was disappointed for a number of reasons. First of all, because he had a different expectation of what a Messiah would do. And John was a product of his time, same as we are a product of our time. He expected the same kind of Messiah as everyone else expected, one who would drive out the despised Romans and establish the kingdom of God. And while languishing in prison, John must have wondered why more wasn't happening. What's he waiting for, you'd think? What's he waiting for? Must have gone through his mind time and time again. Why doesn't he drive out the Roman dogs? You know, we struggle with those same questions today. Why are we living, and I take the Anglican Church, we're living with so much turmoil? Why isn't God doing something about it? John the Baptist's disappointment was because of faulty expectations. Leo Buscalager learned about that kind of disappointment as a teenager, and he writes, I remember the sudden appearance under my family's Christmas tree of the largest present that I had ever hoped to see. It stood at least a foot taller than I and was twice as heavy, and wonders of wonders, it had my name on it. For 2 whole weeks before Christmas, this present towered above all the others, and it defied any conventional attempt to learn of its contents before its time. During the weeks leading up to Christmas, he could think of nothing else but his present under the tree. He imagined all sorts of terrific presents. And on Christmas Day, his family gathered together. The main attraction was to be the opening of my present. How many times in the past 2 weeks I had anticipated this moment, he says. Even as I was opening it, I remember experiencing a vague sense of disappointment. The great mystery was about to end and I would no longer be able to engage in my soaring dreams. His present turned out to be a beautiful handmade desk his uncle had built for him. But he says, by this time, nothing in this world could have satisfied my expectations. I can't imagine what I expected. And still in that disappointment was a lesson which would last him a lifetime. You know, sometimes we're disappointed, not because what we receive is bad, but because we have faulty expectations. And there are people in this very room today who feel that somehow life has cheated them. But I can guarantee you that if you lost everything that you have right now, and Job was mentioned, who lost everything, family, children, everything, and then suddenly had it all restored, you would be exceedingly grateful for what you have. The problem is not what we have, but our expectations. John the Baptist expected the Messiah to come by storm, but nothing much seemed to happen. It wasn't Jesus who was at fault, but John's expectations. And that's the first reason that he was gripped by disappointment. The second reason that John was disappointed was that he was looking for all of the wrong signs. You know, the followers of John the Baptist caught up with Jesus and they asked Jesus a question. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? And Jesus answered, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are given good news. The day of the Lord has arrived. You know, there was evidence of the kingdom of God that had begun. Just looking around you, Jesus told his followers, and see what is happening. You know, centuries before, the prophet Isaiah prophesied what would take place when the Messiah had arrived. Isaiah said, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer. But those weren't the signs that John was looking for. He was looking for something far more dramatic. He was looking for thunder and lightning. Charles Carleton, in his travels across the US, found what looked like a Christmas tree growing in the most unlikely place in the Rockies. Trees need good soil and good weather. And he says, up there is no soil and terrible weather. And he noted nothing can live up there and certainly not trees. That's why this tree is a kind of miracle. There's another tree on a barren stretch of one of the US highways without another tree in sight. And this juniper tree grows. Nobody remembers who put the first Christmas ornament on it. Some motorist years ago. And from that day to this, the tree has been redecorated each year. Nobody knows who does it. But each year, the Christmas tree, by Christmas Day, has become a Christmas tree. And he says, the tree which has no business growing here at all has survived against all the odds. People who live miles away in all directions know and love the tree. Just looking at it makes you think about how unexpected life on earth can be. The tree is so lonely and so brave that it seems to offer courage to those who pass by and a message. It is a Christmas message. There is life and hope even in a rough world. And this church here presents that same message in this community. There is life, there is hope, even in a rough world. Isaiah wrote, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. But see, those aren't the kind of signs that impress people. They want it written up in large neon signs for the whole world. But that isn't God's way. God chooses to work in the little insignificant places in life, like a manger, a carpenter's shop, a cross. And the third reason John was disappointed was that he didn't give God time. You know, John wanted action now. And sitting in jail, you can understand why he wanted action now. But God takes his own sweet time. After all, he's been working on this world since he spoke it into being. But his purpose is just as sure and his plan is just as unstoppable now as it was then. Lincoln Steffens remembers one Christmas while growing up that he wanted a pony more than anything else. He said, I prayed and hoped that I would get a pony. And he wrote, my good little sisters to comfort me remarked that Christmas was coming, but Christmas was always coming and grown-ups were always talking about it, asking, what do you want? His parents played the game with him, asking him what he wanted for Christmas, All I want's a pony, he told them. If I can't have a pony, give me nothing, nothing. Well, Christmas Day arrived, and the children were up by 6 a.m. They're pretty late risers in that family. At first, they were overwhelmed by all the presents. My sisters had knelt down, each with a pile of gifts. And they were squealing with delight until they looked up and saw me standing there in my nightgown with nothing. Nothing. The young boy didn't get the pony he wanted more than anything else for Christmas. His sisters joined him in his agony, running back to their rooms, crying. He refused to eat anything, he was too upset. He went out to the stable and his mother came out to comfort him. He noticed his father watching him from a window for a couple of hours. This was his worst Christmas ever. Not one present. Then he noticed a man riding a pony down the street, a pony with a brand new saddle, and it was a boy's saddle. The man was reading the numbers of the houses and looked at our door and passed by. Lincoln remembered that was the last straw. He flung himself on the ground and began to cry uncontrollably. "So, kid," the stranger asked, "do you know a boy named Lenny Steffens?" "Yes," he spluttered through his tears, "that's me." "Well," he said, "then this is your horse. I've been looking all over for you." The man told Lenny his excuses for being so late, but the boy never heard them. I could scarcely wait, and before too long, he was riding down the street on his pony. And to this day, he still doesn't know if this was his best or worst Christmas. You see, that pony was always coming. It was Lenny's impatience and uncertainty that drove him to the brink of despair. I've been there. Haven't you? God doesn't work according to our time schedule, but according to his. And sometimes it may appear that he doesn't seem to be working at all, but he is. Certainly he wasn't working according to John the Baptist's timetable, but he was working. And the fact that we celebrate the life and the death of John the Baptist 2,000 years later is proof that he is working, and he's still working today. So how about you? Is your life filled with disappointments because you have unrealistic expectations? Are you looking in all the wrong places to find your happiness? Or have you learnt to wait upon the Lord? There was a kindergarten teacher carefully lined up four little kids for the Sunday Christmas pageant. And each of them carried a huge cutout letter. As they stood side by side, they would spell star. Well, a slight mix-up occurred, and those in the pews that were watching nearly fell out of the pews as the four little performers took their place in reverse, and they spelt out rats. Not star. But, you know, that's what happens in our lives when we get our priorities out of order. Bethlehem teaches us about expectations, about signs, and about patience. God begins with a simple baby, humble surroundings, and he works slowly and surely. But he is at work, so let us never lose hope. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us be ready when he comes again in glory to rule this world. Amen.